Well, good morning. Good to see everyone. I've enjoyed the service this morning. The special day, of course. Brother Parson says Resurrection Sunday. The truth is the Lord's resurrected living all the time. As I heard Brother Sinclair pray a while ago, he lives in our heart, not just physically bodily resurrection and back to heaven, but he's still with us in our heart. Amen. And appreciate Sister Molly's song about it there also. Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. I'm not going to any special Easter texts. I fear sometimes that a lot of folks think the Bible only has two portions of Scripture. One is about Christmas and one is about Easter. That's about the only time I fear some show up. But bless the Lord, it's real all the time. Amen. And we're just going to continue on as we were. Chapter 21, subject basically is eternity in heaven and the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And that's a clean breath of fresh air compared to what's going on in the world. Amen. Isn't it good to kind of turn to the back of the book and see who wins? And as bad as things might get with us down here, it's just the worst it's going to be for those that are saved. I asked a fellow one time, I was trying to tell him a little bit about the gospel, and he was telling me, well, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe we have a living soul. I believe when we die, that's it. We'll never know nothing else. We'll be like a dead limb falling off a tree and rotting and going back to earth, and that's it. And I was trying to tell him, no, there's more to that. I asked him, though, I said, wouldn't you think it'd be wise if a man would choose two chances over one? He said, what do you mean? I said, I mean, if you had a contest to put the ball through the basketball goal for a prize, would you rather have one shot at it or two? Well, I'd rather have two. I said, well, think about that for eternity. If you're right, and we all die as a dead limb and rot and go back to the earth and never know anything else, I said, I'm no worse off than you are. But if I'm right and you're wrong, see, I got two chances to your one. You ever think about it that way? Well, you and I know it's not a chance. It's an assurance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, we get a description of heaven. We talked about it last week. Talked about all the stones that are used for building blocks. And I heard just a little bit of a newscast was talking about the gas shortage and the prices of the oil and all the mess that we're in. I heard one of the newsmen interviewing ex-President Trump, and he said it's a shame that we're walking on all this gold. Now, what he meant was the oil in the ground and all the resources we have that we won't use. And he's dead right on that. But I thought, one day we're going to walk on gold in heaven. real gold, but they'll pave the streets with it up there. It won't be near as valuable as it is here. Amen? I think about a little bit of a funny, and I'm wasting time, I'm sure, but back when Bill Clinton was president, a story was told how that somebody gave him some very expensive material to have a new suit made out of. And so he took it to the tailors there around Washington, D.C., and all of them said, no, there's not quite enough material. We can't do it. But a fellow in Texas sent him word, send it down here. We'll help you. So he sent the material down there, and they sent him back two suits. He said, how could you do that? How could you do it? They said there was not enough material to make one up here in Washington. They said, well, you're not near as big in Texas as you are in Washington. I thought about that with the gold thing. Amen. All right. Now, that's the sedative. Now we're going to operate, okay? Revelation 21, describing the city. Now, mathematicians have had a real ball with the description given here in chapter 21 describing the city. And depending on the mathematician you get, some can make it one way and some can make it another way. But I want you to pick up, and we'll start with it a little bit here. It says, the city, verse 16, lieth four square. Now remember, we saw it coming down out of heaven in verse 2 of the chapter. And then we realize it's described as the bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we get down into verse 9, where the angels said, he's one of the seven angels, and he said, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now we know that the church is spoken of as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke of Israel in the Old Testament as being his wife, and you have a whole book with a major theme, the book of Hosea, that shows how Israel was being the unfaithful wife to God, and how that God loved her anyhow and even took her back as a fallen woman. And so you have that that picture in the Old Testament. Here we have the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, described as the Lamb's wife, and then we begin to get the description of it. And it says here, lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height, all of it are equal. Now there's argument about measures in the Bible sometime among different ones. It's debatable how long a furlong is considered. People that deal with horses and stuff like that, they'll tell you they pretty much got their mind made up what the length would be. You have another measurement in the Bible, the cubit, and there's a little bit of argument about the cubit. Generally they think, yet you read in the buildings of the temple and other things how every measurement was just perfect and had to be just right. Some say the cubit is from the point of a man's finger to his elbow, but I've seen some fellas that would sure vary on, haven't you? And we all have. And so it's a little bit debatable. But the arithmetic, the mathematician doing the arithmetic here on this lieth four square. There's some interesting things. All of it sound good. I mean, it's all big. Now, Jesus said in John 14, telling the disciples, and certainly to you and I today, he said, I go away. If I go away, I will come again. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Not a little log cabin in the corner of Glory Land, but many mansions. Said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And so now we get a little picture of what Jesus was kind of hinting at, or giving them a cue concerning the place he was going to prepare. Preachers have said for years, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And the way you get prepared is to know the Lord Jesus Christ before you die. Amen. And so here we get the description of it, and this city, it must be something. Some have said it's like a satellite city coming down out of heaven. Now, we live in the space age enough to know a little bit about satellites and rockets going up and all of that sort of stuff. Can you imagine when this was book was written around 2,000 years ago, AD 90? People wouldn't hardly know what a satellite was, or shooting a rocket into space, or anything like that. But the Bible is so written that it was just as real, just as accurate, just as true when they read it as when we read it today. Even though we might have the advantage of a few more things to compare it to and understand. But I think about some of this that's given to us right here on this description. And I wrote a note in my Bible where one guy had did the arithmetic on it, and I'll see if I, you know, when I write notes, the trouble is 2 days later they've grown cold. I'm not sure what I wrote, but I'll see what I can do. The arithmetic here shows 5 million apartments every cubic mile, 41 trillion. Now, we know what trillions are today. That's how deep debt we are in America. Amen. 41 trillion rooms. Wow. Now, that would figure out, if this mathematician is right, that would figure out about 10 rooms for all the saved in the church age. Now, some of you ladies, you loved a big house when you were young, but you don't care for the big house now, do you? Right. A little few more rooms to clean. I suspect there'll be somebody else taking care of even those needs somehow. But 10 rooms. I know what I would do without my wife. I would do like I do the dishes in the cabinet. I don't mind washing dishes, but I think you ought to use them all before you wash them. Now, some of you men don't laugh. Stack them up. I'll get to it tomorrow and next week. And my grandson lives with us quite a bit now, and that's exactly his philosophy. There's still another dish in there. I hadn't dirtied it yet. Well, keeping up 10 rooms, that might be a challenge, but the good part is I'll have a new body with a little more energy. Amen. All right, we're meddling around with nothing too much there. But if that mathematician is right, 10 rooms for all the saved in the church age. So we'll say it lasts 2,000 years. You know, a lot of people have been saved in the last 2,000 years, much more, many more than we would even imagine, I suspect. You also got to take into consideration there's a lot of children born and die before they ever become to an age of accountability of being able to make a choice to say no to God. They are safe in Jesus. Somebody asked me, when the rapture takes place, will the children, how you know the children will go? Because they're his. And the scripture says he's coming back for his. Amen. They belong to him. And it's a sad thing, really, when we come to the age that children come into rebellion and rejection. But you know, much of that is programmed into them. A basic child, before he's tampered with the evils of this world, he's pretty innocent. That's why I hate this business now. I'm trying to go into kindergarten and first grade and teach them garbage that they should not be taught. And I'm so proud of our governor for taking a stand on that here. But look how many states aren't, and look how he's being blasted across this liberal, far-left, satanic world today. It's amazing. But with all that said, there's a lot of saved people. Really is. It's amazing. I've said this before. The world has to kind of educate faith out of kids. Sunday school teachers in our church and all of us have had this experience. Kids will believe mom and dad what you tell them, and they'll listen to a Sunday school teacher and they'll accept it as truth. One of the sad disappointments is to see a kid all of a sudden get shocked, maybe as an early teenager or even a little before or after, that the world is not always honest. My son grew up with our Christian school here, and we're very proud that he's a preacher today and all that. But I remember he always had such a sense of injustice. If there was anything that offended him, it was a double standard. Anything that offended him, it was to say, that's not fair. How many kids ever said, that's not fair? Well, they're right. There's a lot of unfairness. And I used to say to him, even when he was pretty young, he'd tell me something was not right. And I'd have to remind him over and over and over again, this world is not fair, son. You are right. It is not fair. But you live with it. You make the best of it you can and do as wise as you can and ask for God's help and all that. But anyway, a lot of kids get saved, and only with all the murder of the babies and the abortion that's, I don't know what it's averaging now, but at one time it averaged close to 5,000 babies being aborted a day. Now you add that up through the, it may be less now, there's been, thank God, a lot of fighting against it, but still, with all that. Now here's one thing, did those babies have souls? I think so, and I think they're with God. I believe, according to the book, they're with God. And so, only God can give us the final answer on that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to take a big place in heaven, and God's built a big place. It talks about here the city four square. And some will measure this out, 1,200 miles by 1,200. Some others say it'll be 1,500 miles by 15. 100. Now, I'm not sure God's using miles, but he's using the description here. If that were so, do you know that would take care of half of the United States or more? You'd come across half the United States from the east to the west at least. And then when you go to the height of it, to the height of it. So we just can't hardly imagine. Another mathematician has said that it's not just a four square in the sense that we think of a square. But he says you need to think of it as a big pyramid and coming down out of heaven, that the point of the pyramid will touch earth or be very close to touching earth. And can you imagine such a thing? Now, we read in Revelation chapter 6 when the Lord starts back with his armies from heaven at the Battle of Armageddon, how the rich men, the bond men, everybody that don't know the Lord is going to be crying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. They're going to be scared. Many of you will remember, we talked through chapter 8 here in Revelation, where the wormwood, the heavenly body, asteroid, or whatever you want to call it, star, falls, and it's be falling in the midst of the tribulation period or near the end of the tribulation period, and how it's going to burn up all the green grass and all this destruction that it's going to bring. How many remember that? Chapter 8, Revelation? Okay. See, that's why I can teach it every few years. You don't remember it too well. But that particular thing that NASA is the ones that have been hiding it ever since, pretty much. But they claimed they had what the Bible calls the burning star, or the names it wormwood. Wormwood means bitter, poison. They said the thing was on the way. Now, maybe not that particular one, but one like it was on the way, and their first estimate was it would hit in 1920. Not 1920, 2020, and get my just off 100 years. 2020, and that it was going to hit. And then that a lot of folks got scared about that because they started talking about it back to 2018, 17, somewhere in there. It leaked out. They didn't start talking about it. It leaked out. And then they finally had to admit, yes, they had spotted something coming, just big enough to really destroy things. And so the last thing I read about it from them was it had been reevaluated, and they didn't believe it would be here till 2029. So that means what we got, 7 years? Now, I'm not going to be here for it anyway. I've got an evacuation plan. It's called the rapture. It's called the Lord coming back for the saved. So there's not much of that in the news anymore, because what you have government-wise, even across the world, is don't panic the people. Never tell them anything that will panic them. And so we've all seen that sort of thing. Credibility gap in the news, of course. All right, let's get it back to the thing here. This is a great description. The four square city. It says in verse 17, he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits. There's the cubit again. According to the measure of a man. So as the man of that day that built the temple, what he thought the cubit was, that's the measure of a man. That is of the angel. The angel here is giving the message here to John that he's writing down. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And some of these stones none of us have ever seen. There are about 12 of them here. They claim they have samples of them or in the Smithsonian Institute, if you want to go up there and look. I don't know. They also say, as you read about the breastplate of the high priest in the Jewish high priest of the Old Testament. Remember, he wore the breastplate, and it had stones, gems on it. These same gems in the breastplate of the priest that's being described here, that the city is being built out of. Some believe, and of course we've moved to the computer age, and everybody thinks everything's got to be measured with a computer. Some believe that what the high priest had and what the Ark of the Covenant had also was something like a great advanced computer. I don't believe that. I believe God had it just like he said. But on the breastplate of the priest, he had these stones. The theory, and some argue this for truth, they don't have it now, they can't prove it, that it was used for the priest to get a direct message, a question answered from God. And it was believed that God would tell him, touch right the question, and then if this stone lights up, and this one lights up, and this one lights up, you get the message. That was the breastplate on the priest. Now, that's unprovable stuff, that these stones glowed. Maybe it'd be the jasper stone or the emerald or whatever else lit up and gave a code. We've all seen electronic gadgets that lit up like that, this light and that light. Most of us know them from the dashboard of our car, don't we? Mine right now says change the oil. Truth is, we have a code that we recognize. I remember one guy kept driving the car and kept driving the car, and the red light was on, but he kept driving the car, and it finally burnt up. He said, I wonder why that happened. I said, because the red light got too hot. The truth, I prefer old gauges that tell me what's going on, but nowadays they all got idiot lights on them, and they don't come on until after things destroyed itself, in most cases, you know. But anyway, these stones, and all may have been the very stones that was in the breastplate of the high priest of Judaism in the Old Testament. And you read about them, and it says here, verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, and you can call them whatever you want to. I'm just naming them as they seem to pop out. The tenth, a chrysophernus, whatever. And the 11th, japheth, and the 12th, and amnus. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, the walls, we've already talked about how high the walls were, at least by man's measurement. What did we say? 360 feet or whatever it was. Them's some pretty tall pearls if you make a gate out of them. Now, pearls are a little different than the other stones. We all know how a pearl is formed, but they're still precious gems today. It says every gate was one pearl. That'd be a pretty good sized gate, wouldn't it? And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Well, this city, built out of these stones. Can you imagine seeing that? Now, here's the thing, folks. This is in eternity now. We've moved through the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. That's the 7 years designated to the nation of Israel, the day of Jacob's trouble, where God is dealing with them on recognizing who Jesus is as the Messiah. And you have the verses in the book of Zechariah that tells when he comes back, they're going to ask him where he got the wounds in his hands and his side, and he's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Israel is going to recognize him as the Messiah, where their religious leadership, their priests, said in that day, away with him, crucify him, we'll not have this man reign over us. This same Jesus is coming back, he's going to be recognized, and they're going to ask him where he got these wounds. And he's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. John 1:12, he came under his own, that's the Jewish nation. Jesus in the flesh was a Jew. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And God gave him a fleshly body, and God had a promise that he'd made to the nation of Israel. I think maybe I said this to you before, but as God deals with the nations right here near the end, and the end's already come. We're in eternity now in chapter 21, 22. We've already passed the millennial reign. A lot of commentators on the book of Revelation will still have this in the millennial reign, but it's not. Eternity has begun. Jesus has ruled and reigned on earth for 1,000 years. The devil has been chained for 1,000 years. He'll be loosed, and there'll be a little war at the end of it. Satan causes a rebellion, but now we move to the victory time, chapter 21, chapter 22, the end of the book, into eternity. And some things still are happening on earth in eternity, and this is where a lot of commentators on the book of Revelation will disagree, but they move away too quick. There's some things happening still on planet earth, predicted in the Old Testament. See, the fulfillment of it hit again here in the book of Revelation. And I said to you before, the Bible comes in a circle. It comes from the time of Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, in the garden, you got the tree of life. When you get to book of Revelation, you got the tree of life coming up again. You got a circle coming around. And as we look here in this part of the chapter, description of heaven, and then it says in verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, capital L's here, are the temple of it. Now if we go back to verse 3 here in this same chapter, we'll see something that we remind you of in chapter 3 of chapter 21, chapter 3, this same chapter. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now get this point, tabernacle. He's going to tabernacle among men. Tabernacle was the place they went in to meet God. He's going to tabernacle with men at this time. So if you keep that in mind, then when you get over to verse 22, no temple therein, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. They're the temple, the place you'd go to meet God, but God's already with you. He's tabernacling with you. So there's no need of the temple here at this point. This is eternity. And it says, and the city had no need of the sun. Now right now, when the sun goes down without some artificial light, it gets dark. It says, don't need the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. Don't need their light. Why don't they need the light? Here it is. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, the scientists of the world say you can't have light without the sun. Well, if you read the Bible close, we had light before we had the sun. If you'll go back to Genesis, I'm not going to do it for sake of time, but in Genesis 1, verse 3, in the creation week, God the Creator. But if you notice, it says, God said, let there be light. Light came a few verses later. He creates the sun and the moon. God is the light. He didn't have the light without the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon are called in Genesis great lights that he put in the sky. We know the moon reflects the light from the sun and so forth. But still, the truth is, God can do without them because he's the light. And that's several places here in the verses of after we enter eternity, we find out that it's light, no darkness. Scripture says in him there is no darkness at all. And today we recognize what John said. He said over there, I guess it is in John 3, he said, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Look at the crime today, mostly at night. Look at the bad stuff done today, mostly at night. Why? To hide it. So men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The Bible speaks a lot about bringing things to the light. Don't it make a lot of difference when you have a light on something? Now, probably not bothering you any, but the older I get, the more light I seem to need. Amen? And in fact, our thermostats in the house, I don't know why the electrician put them in the dark corners, but he did. So I found out a little flashlight not far from them sure does help me. Especially when Casper the ghost comes in and sets the temperature higher than I want it set. I think Casper the ghost wears a dress at my house, but anyway. Anyway, fools with the thermostat. And I need the flashlight to correct it every now and then to see what I'm doing. But anyway, with all that said, no light needed cause God and the Lamb is the light. That's what it says in the verse. No need No need of the sun or the moon, verse 23, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now watch this, and this is where keep it in context is important. It says in verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, are you getting the picture? There are some nations outside that are able to come in. They're regulated and they're coming in. Now, I don't have, maybe next week I can get into, if I'll just start here instead of starting somewhere else, maybe I can have time to get through this. But here's an interesting truth. There are nations still on the earth after the city has come down from God out of heaven. This city has walls. God is a separator. Did you know that? God has walls. And he has conditions on which the nations come in. Now, I'll give you a homework assignment, not that I expect some of you to keep it. But you can read some about it in the last chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. You read some things there that's going to be happening not only in the millennial reign, but jumps into eternity here. And so this city has got walls. It's told us how it's built. The light is the God and the Lamb. And the nations which are saved. Do you know when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom after the battle of Armageddon? You read Matthew chapter 25 there. He's going to sit on the throne of David, and the nations are going to come before him, and they're called sheep or goat nations. Do you ever read that, Matthew 25? He's going to say to some of them, depart. He's going to say to some of them, to be accepted. Now, the truth is, the sheep and goat nations are going to be judged over what they did in the tribulation period, and pretty much probably in history too, but how they treated his brethren. Now, like it or not, a lot of anti-Semitism today and all that, and every Jew needs to be saved through Jesus like anybody else. But the nation of Israel had a purpose. God gave them that purpose. Read Deuteronomy chapter 32. He had a purpose, and they failed God in that purpose. But God is still going to bring them back to the place he wanted them to be had they made the right choice. And so you're going to find these other nations judged by how they treated what he calls his brethren. That's the Bible. You may not have that through whatever sources you hear and listen to, but the Bible fact is the fact that God says to the nation of Israel, I'll no longer make you the tail. And that's the terminology he uses, but the head. And boy, there's a lot of hate over that statement today. That's not the case now, but it will be the case when Jesus gets through the judgment of the nations. And so some will be allowed to come in, and some will not be allowed to come in. That's what it is saying to us right here. And They're going to be outside the wall, and some are going to be able to come in, and some are not. And it says in verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Oh, listen, if you've ever been sick during the night and wanted the sun to rise, I don't know why we thought sunrise would happen, but it seemed to. Long night, somebody speaks of. Long, dark, painful night. That's describing man suffering quite often. And so there's no night there. And it says they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Now, I'm not going to try to finish it up because I don't have time. But you read in Isaiah and you read several other portions where they're going to have to come. They're going to be forced to come. One case is still here on earth. If they want to be blessed, God will even use such a thing during that time as to have no rain on the earth where it is needed if they do not come and visit on the Feast of the Tabernacles. And this is part of that it's talking about. Hey, we go around with just some big thoughts that are not wrong, but they're just so incomplete on detail. I'm going to kill a couple of kids back there in a minute, but no, I won't, not the kids, but whatever Sunday school teacher let them out early, amen? It's time for me to shut up because they're not going to shut up. So let's just quit there. Next week, same time, ain't that what they say on same place? Amen.